I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey guys, welcome back to Awkward Sex in the City. It's Wednesday, it's hump day, you are living your best life, or maybe this week fucking blows, I don't know. I hope you're okay, I hope this episode can be whatever you need it to be. We are actually going to do a rerun today. We had one of our guests premiere on The Tonight Show this past Monday. I was going to say yesterday, but that doesn't make sense. On Monday. So you can fucking check out Kenise fucking Mobley on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. All online, all on demand. Check out her set. She, as you know, she's fucking hilarious if you've already listened to the episode before, but just had to support, had to get her name out there a little bit more. That's just so fucking cool. And I'm so happy for her. And this episode is great. It's a very fun episode, and it's a very introspective episode. Kenise has a very open and vulnerable style, and when you are interviewing someone, that is so helpful to really kind of this is gonna sound gross, but like connect. It's much easier when someone's willing to kind of just get real with you, and Kenise was so willing to do that, and so I just, props girl, so proud of you. Can't wait to see what else is coming for you, and I hope you guys really like the episode.
Your Twitter game is fucking amazing. I love your tweets. I love them so hard.
Thank you so much.
The ginger or the Spice Girl one, like I still think about like to this day. I guess like let's start with like how are you doing in like all of this and like COVID, the pandemic. Are you seeing anyone? Were you before things like that. If you want to talk about that, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you would to do a podcast called Awkward Sex in the City and then be like, actually, no, I don't want to talk about who I've been seeing or what I do.
You'd be surprised. But I'm always like, whatever feels good to you, like you want to put out there, I'm totally cool with it. I'm never going to like push and prod for like very intimate details.
Yeah. I'm always in a state of kind of seeing people.
Okay.
It's not necessarily what I'm meant to do. It's not like I'm like, I don't have like firm, polyamory stances or anything. It's nothing like that. It's like, I'd love to be in a committed long-term relationship with someone I trusted, but it always seems to be I date people for like 3 months and then we stop dating, or I kind of just casually date people indefinitely, but like multiple people at the same time. So at the beginning of this, I'm trying to think. I was dating a guy from Australia. He's very nice. He had to move back to Australia because it was fine. I mean, he was here in town essentially like visiting for a couple of months before getting this job in Canada. But then the job in Canada was like, actually, we can't do any of that because of COVID. So we had to go back to Australia because the Canadian government was like, you can't just stay here. So,
whoa.
And this is when all the flights everywhere were locked down. So he was like, yeah, the government is saying that I have to go take a flight to Los Angeles, take a flight from Los Angeles to Australia to go back home. So that's what happened to one of the people that I was seeing. And we still chat. It's very nice. It's pleasant. I wish nothing for the best for him. And honestly, I will keep that relationship alive because if everything falls apart here, I am moving to Australia very quickly.
They've done a great job about COVID. I was talking to a friend the other day, like every Australian I've ever met is like, the best with drugs and like the greatest partiers in the world. Like, yes. It's like, I've never met one that's not like good at both of those things.
This dude could very much so handle his liquor. So he was a fun guy. I enjoyed spending time with him. But now he's in Australia, so I won't see him until I have to marry him to escape the warlords here. I don't know what's going to happen. It causes me so much stress. So I was seeing him, that ended. I was kind of seeing someone for a little while in May, and now I'm going on dates, but like weird outside dates. So we'll see. I'm always like, I don't know. I'm living. There are people doing stuff. I don't know. It's fine.
Do you feel like it cuts the bullshit out a little bit? Because it's like you have to meet, like if you are going to meet in person, that already is like, oh, okay, this could be like something. Yeah. And then it's just like, I don't know. I guess I would treat it like a STD. Get tested. You have to get tested before there's any like contact. There has to be barriers or a wall. What was it? Did you see the thing they came out with that was like how to have safe sex in New York?
I remember that it said don't eat ass, and I was like, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, they were like, maybe not eat ass right now.
Yeah.
And then it like one time was like, use like a barrier, like a glory hole. And I was like, this is great. This is amazing.
Okay. I love, similar to like Germany after World War II, a lot of like very interesting and strange new kinks started popping up, like gas mask stuff, like raid stuff, like latex bodysuits. I mean, it also coincides with like the development of like latex as a material and being able to use it for different things like that. But just, I am very interested in like the kinks that are going to come out of this.
Like, I did not know that about World War II though.
Oh yeah. Like a lot of like post-war occupation stuff and like more kinky. Yeah. Or maybe it's simply those technologies and hunger and all these other issues made it so that, well, this is a thing that we can do. But I love the idea that like 20 years from now, kids who are raised now will just love fucking like with a plastic sheet between them, like a see-through, like imagine like a shower curtain, those see-through ones, which you should never buy because they get dirty so quickly. But those, just like two people just like, that's, oh, they're gonna love it. They're gonna really enjoy it.
Or like those things, like it's a shower curtain, but you've seen like the videos where like they made a shower curtain thing, like the grandma can like hug the kid. So they put like
yes!
plastic arms through it. Oh my God. Oh my God. You're so right. This is going to happen. I feel like Clorox is going to get in there somehow. Like you're going to want to like be wiped with a Clorox.
Yeah.
And that's terrible for your skin.
But that smell, that clean smell that says safe, but also dirty at the same time, I think mentally there's going to be something, it's going to be in there.
You know what smell now does kind of turn me on is, I always say it wrong, the alcohol, isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah.
I love that smell.
Like, that's in the cleaning wipes. Like,
Yeah. And when they, like, if they give you a shot, they do that with the wipe first. Now I really like that smell now.
Yeah. I love the smell of chlorine, and I have to live with that. It's just like.
Yeah. Like that. It's like sort of bleachy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I'm into that. Oh my God. I love this. are you okay with like having sex right now with like a new partner? Or are you still a little like.
Yes. I mean, I have been getting tested constantly. Mm-hmm. Not constantly, every 2 weeks for a couple of months now. And like I went traveling, I came back, I isolated for a while, and then I got the test. And then like before, I had my hair done by somebody, and then she called me to tell me she tested positive for COVID. So I like got the test then too. So I've just been like kind of doing it consistently. And the people that I talk to that I agree to like go on dates with, it hasn't been that many of them, but now I'm thinking, oh wow, they have jobs that they need to do that for. So like a guy who works on film things, he has to be tested regularly. So like, oh, I can be pretty safe about this guy, or like other people who are in professions where they have to get tested. Yeah.
I didn't really think about that because I was, I didn't think about that until all of a sudden there was the like backlog, and like people weren't getting their tests in New York for like 11, 12, 13, 14 days. And
yeah.
I was like, but what about people that have to go into work? And I don't think they ever figured that out. I think it was just kind of like, okay.
Well, it's for, so it depends on where you go. So like if you go to one of the clinics, like the City MDs or something like that.
Yeah.
Those things, the wait is 11 days, or it was like 14 days at one point, but I think it may have dropped back down to 11 days. That's where I got my first one, and it did take 11 days to get the results. But if you've had any reason to be particularly concerned, I just wrote my doctor on the app that my healthcare system uses, and she ordered a test for me, and those results come back within 24 hours. So are places where you can get faster results, but it is more so like, oh, have you been exposed? Oh, are you going through a doctor versus just a random clinic? That sort of thing.
Oh, that's really smart. I've been going to, trying to stay like pretty regular with it. Cause like, yeah, it's summer, like people are outside now. You're like seeing people.
Yeah.
You're like being close around people. Maybe you're grilling. There's like food involved. but I went to New York and Health on Passport Green Park.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They've been pretty good.
Hell yeah.
The first time it was like, I think I got it back in like 24 hours. The second time was like a few more days, but it was still like way better than like what I've heard friends go through.
Yeah. I like the first time.
If you need it.
Yeah. When I was first exposed, I didn't know about the other options. And so I isolated for 10 days. And now I'm like, damn it. I should have just, I wish I had known about these other things instead of just being like, nope, I won't even see you in a park from a distance. I'm only inside my home. I'm getting my groceries delivered. Walk away. I have the plague. Yeah. So.
When it first hit, like where were you mentally with it all? Like, were you agoraphobic or were you just like, it's fine?
Well, so I had a surgery planned for March 16th. And so it had like a 3 to 4 week recovery period. So I had already cleared my schedule. I had already gone to like Target, stocked up on a ton of like essential things, like bean, like just things I could cook easily if I'm recovering. Mm-hmm. So like, I had already stockpiled, like I had already done all these things. And then they were like, actually, you're lucky that you scheduled on this day. This is the last day we're doing non-emergency procedures. So for me, I was like, I was already planning on kind of like not seeing anyone or doing anything for a month. So I do feel lucky that I was kind of like eased into it in a certain way versus like my life going full speed ahead and then immediately stopping.
Yeah. Whoa. That's crazy. And that's crazy that like they didn't cancel on you.
Yeah. They were like, you're lucky. You're so lucky that this is. Because if I hadn't gotten it then, it would be like trying to schedule it now-ish. And they'd be like, actually, there's a backlog and yours is being deprioritized. And like, yeah. So I'm happy that it's like, no, I got it in just under the wire. Because waiting would have been when I, so what I got, the surgery that I got, I have fibroids in my uterus, and they were like 4 orange sized fibroids, like taking up a bunch of the space. So I was like in pain regularly. There was like a lot of stuff with like, this is embarrassing, but like bowel stuff, because it's pushing your bowels out of the way. And just like periods were like excruciating, and I wasn't like functioning nearly as well as I wanted to. And they gave me the runaround for like a long time until I was like, give me this fucking surgery.
Yeah.
I found a doctor who was like, you don't have to explain why you're in pain. And I was like, you're my doctor. Cause every other doctor is like asking me to explain like why I deserve to not be in pain, essentially. So I get the surgery. Yeah. She does the surgery. They take them out. But like when I got it, it was also like, hey, these are just small enough that they can come out using like this robotic surgery or laparoscopic surgery, I guess, where they can take it out without giving you essentially like a full C-section. So yeah, I was like really happy that they were able to do it, because if I had waited a couple more months, they may be too big. I may have to get like a completely different type of surgery with a much longer recovery time. So yeah, it's really frustrating. Like I have to go in there and be like, in full lawyer mode every time I go to the doctor to be like, actually, wait, let's circle back to this thing that I said. Like, let's go through this list. Actually, we said we were going to hit like the amount of advocating for myself that I have to do every time I go to the doctor is so frustrating. And yeah, the one time I didn't have to do that, I was like, yes, please. Can you be my doctor for other things, please?
Oh my God.
I know you're like a gynecological surgeon, but like, can you look at my ears? Because they are ignoring the fact that I have ear pain. So.
Oh my God. I have an ENT I love who like, she did the same thing. She was like, I was freaking out. I thought I had a brain tumor. I don't. It was migraines. But
it still sucks though.
Right? Well, yeah. It still sucks. It's still awful. But like, my great grandfather died of a brain tumor and my grandmother had one behind her eye.
Oof.
So I like walked in like in tears being like, I think it's a brain tumor. I don't know what's going on. And she was just like, you know what? I don't think it is. But let's get an MRI so you feel better. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
You care?
The last time I had to get an MRI, the doctor stormed out because he was mad that I demanded one. And then I turned out to be right. And I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I like don't go to male doctors anymore. I'm like, I can't. Like you said, I cannot advocate for myself over and over again just because you don't like believe me.
Yeah.
Like, that's such bullshit. One day we'll have Medicare for all. So you had to probably, if I remember correctly, you can't even masturbate.
I didn't for, I want to say 3 weeks. I didn't do anything because I was so afraid. Like before even the surgery was scheduled, I was having these nightmares that like the tumors would like rip the complicated organ that is the clit and that I'd never be able to come again. And so like just like waking up in cold sweat, like my clit's gonna, like something's gonna happen, you know? So I was afraid of that. And then I was like, after the surgery and while I was recovering, I was like, you're gonna come too hard and you're gonna rip the surgery scars. Yeah, so you just can't, because you don't know. You don't know if it's going to be one of those like itsy bitsy little cums that's just like a, oh, that was pleasant, or like a, oh God, everything's shaking cum. So just don't do it. Just don't do anything at all.
Because you never fucking know, yeah. Though. Like, it's like, I don't know what it is. Is it like environmental? Like all of a sudden, it's either like a little baby or it's like the world is done.
Yes.
Like you feel things moving inside of you.
Yes.
No, totally. Totally. I would have had the same fears. I'm so glad it didn't. I'm so glad your clit did not fall off.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is such a weird dream. And I know that, but just like, oh, it was like a deep, I was like, I was on the phone with my mom and I was like trying to explain why I couldn't sleep, but like without saying that, but it was just like, you don't understand, mom. I was worried about my pleasure.
Would she have been like, would she have understood if you're like, mom, I'm just afraid of my clit falling off? Would she have been like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah? Or she'd be like, no.
She would have been very concerned and she would not know what to say if I said that to her. She would just been like, she would like try to be supportive, because my mom's first instinct is to like try to be supportive, but it would be like, oh God, we'd get into a whole weird other conversation and I'd be like, never mind. I don't want to, I'm not telling you about this. So
did she ever give you like a sex talk?
Yeah. When I was 6, she gave me a sex talk.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. My twin sister found a tampon in my older sister's purse. And we were like, what is this? And Michelle is my older sister. And she was like, it's a pencil. And we're like, don't lie to us. This is not a pencil. No. And then my mom set us down and just was like, okay, first, you have a vagina. Second, it's going to bleed. Third, if it doesn't bleed, like, she was just like very, like, a man puts his penis inside of the vagina. Sometimes lady gets pregnant, like, da 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 da. And I was like, I don't think, that doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah. That sounds like a mean thing that men are doing to women. I don't think, like, just the way that she described it, I guess, I was like, that sounds very aggressive. The dudes I know would never do something like that. So
Blair in kindergarten would never do that.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love it. Oh my God, but I do love that she was just very, like, I love that she's very, like, clinical about it. I'm just like, yes, these are the facts. Like, here we go. Even though, like, at six, you're like, will it happen in a hat? Like, what?
Yeah.
Can you Dr. Seuss this for me?
Yeah.
But I love a parent. I love a parent talking about it, like, straightforward, like, straight out the gate.
I'm lucky that it didn't. So my family, my extended family is quite religious. So mm-hmm. I'm very lucky that when I was told about it, it wasn't in the context of this is a sin that you have to constantly guard against. More like this is a thing that bodies do. So I feel really lucky about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have extended family. I have Southern Baptists in my family.
That is what my family is as well.
It's like a lot of them, like, aren't okay with the podcast or the show. Like, and I just haven't seen them in 7 years now because I'm like, well, I don't care. I think your God is fake. It's not real. But so, yeah, it's a very specific type of religion, especially when it comes to the sexism against women and how to make them feel like whores.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was just my experience. I don't know.
I think that's a pretty general experience. Like, oh, you have desire at all. That's bad. And you're bad. And you need to swallow that and never address it because it's all of it is going to send you straight to hell. So
have you seen the shit that's going on with Jerry Falwell?
I saw a tweet about it today. So he watched his wife have sex with somebody else or something?
I think so. So first it was like he got caught drinking, that a picture he posted on his own social media.
Yes. So I've heard about that.
So that's why he had to leave. Mm-hmm. But now there are pictures of her having sex with, like, another man. And then there's, like, the implication that allegedly he was, like, blackmailed into supporting Donald Trump. Allegedly. because of these pictures of her having sex with another man and that he was watching or something. Now I'm so afraid I have this wrong as it's, like, put on a podcast that it's all alleged. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. We said alleged. You can't sue us. Okay.
Alleged, right? We've learned that lesson. Can't say his name either. Learned the lesson. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck that man. But I just, like, watch. I'm from Virginia, and I just love watching him fall.
Yes.
That terrible, terrible school, and just, like, the terrible man that he is.
Yeah.
Because is that Southern Baptist? I can't even remember at this point. I just know I hate him.
Yeah. This is parroting a tweet that I saw, but it also reflects my feelings. Essentially, I think anyone should be able to do whatever it is that they want to in the privacy of their own home with consenting adults. Live your lives, whatever. Some of it I'm not into, but whatever you want to do, it's your house, it's where you live, it's you, it's your body. Except for people who have made it their life's work to control what other people do in private, then suddenly it becomes relevant and suddenly it exposes you. Yeah, so yeah, I just, those are the only two people who I think should be exposed. The people who rally against it. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Like, this would not be an issue if you didn't do the shit that you did.
Yeah.
Or spewed the shit that you spewed.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody else, I'm like, oh, good for them. You know, like, I hope they're having fun. That's the thing that if I was married, I'd like to be on the table. So, yeah.
That is, not to, like, change the subject, but no. Me and Aaron are engaged, and the closer we get, I'm like, oh, what's, like, our sex life going to be like? Does it just change once you're married? And then I was like, oh, no, you can probably just still do all the things that you want to do. Because I was like, we can't tell our kids that we're having threesomes. And he's like, yeah, Natalie, we won't tell our kids that we're having threesomes. Like, why do I have to say that out loud to you? There's just so many things.
Won't be like, hi kids, we're leaving to have sex. These are the positions we're probably going to do, just so you know. This is what we normally do. But today I think, I'm feeling a little bit spicy. We're probably going to go in this direction. You probably won't say that. So you don't need to say that threesome thing.
You know, the thing is though, I'm a little worried that I might, because I just want, especially if we have girls, I want to be like, look, masturbating's great. You're going to do it really young. You're going to have a special teddy bear that's your favorite and will get really mad if I try to throw it away because you love it. I want to be very open about it. And I have to learn, you could also still scar your kids from being too open about it. Just keep it in the middle. Yeah. It's possible.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Right.
I didn't masturbate until I was in college. So I was not one of these young women who just figured it out intuitively. I was I'll see.
I definitely, when I was younger, would, act out a lot of things with, teddy bears that were my same size.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure means I, walked in on my parents.
Yeah, I had no visual reference for this.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And then it wasn't until high school when I started to learn, when you do this, it feels good. And then I learned from there. And bought, a vibrator from, Spencer's for, 10 bucks.
Nice.
Until to this day, one of my best vibrators.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're always we're going to card you, and they definitely don't.
Good. Also, why should you be carded for a vibrator?
Yeah. I have no fucking
It's plan. Not, like, it's, I'm laughing because, Hot Topic also in some places sells, and Spencer's and Hot Topic both in some places sell, pipes and things like that. And, yeah, that you should card people because you're saying, okay, you can't smoke until you're 18. You shouldn't really be using this until you're 18. But, I love government restrictions on you can't touch your own genitals. And because you can't do it until you're 18. If you bump into things in the wrong way, you will be arrested. What? Yeah, just give her the fucking vibrator.
Yeah, let her, or him, whatever they need to do. That's so true, though. When I bought it, I was like, yeah, this makes sense. But now I'm like, no.
Why?
It doesn't make any sense. But I was also a late bloomer, too. I didn't start having sex until college, until, a few years into college.
I had sex in high school. I just didn't masturbate.
Oh, I love this. Very chicken before the egg, which came first. I love it. Was it, okay, I don't know if this is, a fair question, but, was it good?
What, the sex?
Yeah.
Sometimes. I feel like I was learning what I liked at the same time I was, with this person. And so it's weird that some of the things that I like are coupled with, that relationship in a certain way. So I don't know. It ended up being good sex, I guess. When we first started, I think we were just kind of that scene in 2001 A Space Odyssey when they're slapping it around and then one person figure out oh, a bone, I can use this bone to hit kind of that. We were just monkeys just hitting things and figuring things out, and then we figured something out that worked after a while. So yeah.
All right. Was this a long-term relationship?
That's the longest relationship I've ever been in. In high school, that says something about me. I hear it too.
Oh, yeah, not at all. I think people are – I think that's society putting shit on people. It doesn't say anything about you.
Okay.
Not in the way that you think it does, I think.
Okay.
Go on.
No, I hope so. I just –
Your face is just I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I dated that guy for 2.5-3 years, and since then I think the longest thing was technically 7 months, but he did spend 4 of those months on a boat, so does not count.
Was the boat to get further away from you? Before or after?
He was a merchant marine, so he was a British guy. He really liked boxing. He was ticking off a lot of things on my list.
I was going to say, this sounds very hot.
Yeah, on my early 20s list. He just, boom. I don't even like blondes like that, but he was blonde with blue eyes, boxer, British accent. He it was a lot, okay? he was a merchant marine, and so I met him right after he got off of a boat, and then he It was in LA. We hung out for a while. He had to go back onto a boat, do a 3-month stint, and then come back. And then he moved from LA to Boston with me. It was a whole thing.
Wow.
But then, the second we got to Boston, we were we hate each other.
Oh no. Oh my God.
We can't stand each other. So yeah, it was.
What was it that you were like, this, no, I hate everything. Like, what was like the one thing that was like the deal breaker?
I think it has to be that he was just like, oh, I don't know what that is. And I don't care what that is. Like when it comes to like culture and art and things like that. And I was like, these things really interest me. And he's like, ah, sister. And then like, I need someone who can be serious when they need to be serious. And he was never serious. And I was like, I cannot deal with you right now. Get away from me.
Were you also a comedian? Like, were you like in comedy when this was happening too?
No, this is before, this is like right before I started comedy.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because yeah. I could totally see him being like, yeah, I could do comedy too, to you. Oh. Being like, no, no.
So many men. Thankfully, this is one guy who hasn't. And he's a lovely guy. And we're still Instagram friends and we write each other from time to time. But
oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not friends with my exes. We're like, we're BFFs and I force like us hanging out all the time thing. But like, we're all moderately friendly, except like two people. But yeah, that's, that 7 months was really only 3 months. Let's be real.
I am so impressed. Every ex is like literally blocked on every social media possible.
Are they mean?
Some were. Okay. Some were bad. Some, it just didn't work out. But I was just like, how could you not choose me? I'm a Leo. So it's like, obviously I'm the one.
I do feel that way deeply. I just don't do anything about it.
And I'm very like, I am very obsessive with people. I've noticed as I've gotten older, and like looking back on like my crushes and like how I handled them, that a lot of times if I blocked, it was for me to be like, you have to stop doing this.
Yeah.
Like you have to stop. I think only one where I was like, no, maybe two. Two, I was like, no, like I must stop stalking you, but also like I hate your guts and like go to hell, like type of situation. So I'm always impressed when people are like, yeah, no, we still talk, best wishes. I'm like, wow, that's a growth I've never seen.
It's, I think it's also easy because the same factors at play that mean that all of my relationships are 3 months also mean that I don't develop time to hate these people. Like I don't develop time to like feel like it's been a long time since I was like, and I'm not saying I want to be, but maybe I do. Like it's been a long time since I was straight up devastated by someone because I never get close enough to be devastated by someone. So like, yeah, it's easy to maintain friendships when it was like, oh, it was like a quick thing. It was 3 months, 4 years ago, or that was 7 months, 8 years ago. Like, whatever. It's very easy to stay friends with these people because it's like, we weren't really, I mean, we didn't advance so far out of friendship that it's impossible to get back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has there been anyone in your past dating life that has like left you devastated and heartbroken?
Yes, but this wasn't someone I dated. This was someone who was a friend of mine who I like, I fell madly in love with this person. Just like a real thorn in my side. Couldn't think about anybody else for a while. And I worked at getting over it and I did get over it. And then a year later, like when it was like, oh, we're friends, like we're all part of the same friend group, whatever, da 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 da. He just started getting really insistent that we should sleep together. And he was like, I want you and we should sleep together. And it was just like this thing. And like, I mean, it's like, I had a choice in the matter. I was attracted to him still. We slept together. And then he just started, and this is like an issue that he's always kind of had where he was like, not necessarily good to the women that he dated, but like we sleep together. And then he starts treating me like shit. Just like mean to me in the group text or like just dismissing my ideas in a certain way. And it was like, what the, like you were my, for a while. And when I fell in love with you, you were like my best friend. Like we talked every day. We messaged each other constantly. Like we both helped each other out of depressive episodes. And oh, you fuck. Are just like gonna kind of toss me aside like everybody else. Like that was the thing that I think I was like the most heartbroken over. And I've heard since then that he's been shitty to a lot of people and like there are lots of issues there. But yeah, that's probably the one that like wrecked me. And that was 4 years ago. So I haven't been like wrecked by anybody in 4 years.
Yeah, but that's still like not that long ago.
Yeah.
Like when you think about it, like I totally understand Oh, that sucks. Oh God. Like, why do men have to be like so predictable sometimes? It's just like the bar is already so fucking low for you guys. Yeah. Like straight men. Like, you come on. I'm sorry. I feel that one.
It's okay.
You had a tweet the other day that was like, I'm going to butcher it.
It's okay. It was
like, I used to either like pine over men of what could have been, or now I have sex with them twice. And I was just like, literally, I was like writing an essay about a person who like legit listens to this podcast. Like, we're like still friends. Mm-hmm. About like what could have been, like this like whole like romance that like made up in my mind that I swear to God I don't even think exists at all. Mm-hmm. And I think I misread everything that he said to me.
Yeah, that's tough. That's so fucking tough.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, why does this feel so raw and real? Like, that's every time I see one of your tweets, it's like, how is this gonna just like tear me apart again?
I don't want to tear you apart, but I do. It really does make me feel good that other people have experienced this and have also seen it the same way. Because a lot of times I'm like looking at things like, am I crazy? Are we all just having to deal with this thing that sucks? What's going on?
I think we're similar ages, right?
Yeah.
So I think for me, at least with like the whole pining over things like that, I think a lot of it has to do with like the rom-coms we were given.
Yes.
Like, they were such ridiculous premises and plots, but I was just like, yeah, all of this is real. This yep. is how my life is. This is it. Ugh.
The and first, I'm, oh, sorry.
No, no, go on.
The first movie I ever owned, and I still own it, and I still watch it, ooh, every 3 months, is Bridget Jones' Diary. And I know that that isn't good for me. I know. What is it doing to my brain? Do you understand? Like, I'm so attached to this woman. When that came out, I was 14 years old. Why am I attached to the love life of a 30-year-old woman and being like, yep, that's what adulthood is. That's it.
Were you the person that tweeted, isn't it crazy that we thought Bridget Jones was a loser when she was like a journalist and like a big time person, like PR person?
Oh no, I didn't tweet that, but I feel that. I feel that very deeply.
I have to find that tweet for you. It might have been on Betches, but I was just like, holy shit. Like, it just completely, like, again, gutted me. I feel like gutted on Twitter left and right. I'm trying to think what mine was. One thing that really fucked me up were not movies, but was Laguna Beach and The Hills.
Ooh, okay. I didn't watch those. I watched The OC, and I was way too invested in The OC.
But it was such a good show. It's actually something I wanted to watch recently because someone was like, the pilot episode to The OC like needs to be studied in like film classes because of how good of a pilot and setting up the world it is.
Hell yeah.
You don't like, I haven't seen that pilot in so long that I was like, shit, like I must, it's for some reason it's giving me the chills. That was like, I must see this.
Nice.
But it basically, it was like 14-year-olds, it was like our age, just watching them pine over each other, but then they surfed too.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no, this is it. This is what I want. And like to this day, I still want to go to Laguna Beach. Like I want to see it.
Yeah.
And I think it definitely fucked up my views of how men should treat me for a very long time. Ooh. Yeah.
It fucked me up. I mean, like in both directions. So like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out the best way to articulate this. Because one is that some of the ways that these dudes behave are bad. Like mm-hmm. that you shouldn't behave like that towards someone. But and expecting that to be a representation of love kind of fucks up what you are expecting. But a separate side of that coin, I guess, is I don't think a guy likes me unless he's behaving like an insane person.
Yes. like
it's not just like, oh, it's going to feel like explosions and all this, which I should also work on because it's a thing that develops over time and they do a montage and I'm expecting that montage feeling in that amount of time. But it's also like, well, I mean, he just texts me and like talks to me and like listens to me, but he's never grounded a plane or run through Manhattan traffic or like called every Kniece in the phone book. There would be five of us and there's no phone books anymore, but he's like never done all those things, which means he must not like me. He probably doesn't like me. You know, I'm just not gonna invest it. He doesn't like me. Never mind. Like that.
One of the craziest things, like after I'd gotten out of like a really tumultuous, like really, really, really bad relationship, that was like that just like ups and downs, super super just bad in a lot of ways. My mom was like, a good relationship is going to be boring. And I, one, felt so sad for her. I was like, how could she ever feel that way? And then I was like, oh my God, like years down the road, I'd be like, oh my God, now I get it. There's no fucking drama. There's like trust and commitment.
Oh my
and
God, openness. I want it. Give it to me. Give it to me.
It's great. It's a huge turn on. And, but it's totally true. Like what you're saying, it's just like, if these men weren't acting fucking crazy. And then if I go back and think of the men that were acting like that to me, like in high school, how fucking like verbally abusive and like immense, emotionally abusive they were. It's just like, how is that allowed?
Yeah.
They want like, oh, I don't know. I was going to be like, they want to censor like guns and shit. Like, can't they also censor like abusive men?
Yeah. I think I like to think that it's better, but it's also because like, I don't watch teen movies in the same way anymore. Like, I don't know what the teen movies are telling people about love and romance at this moment.
They have gotten better because, of course, I still watch teen movies. Like, I Love You, Simon. It was a really good one.
Right.
And it's about him, like, discovering his sexuality. So it was sweet and nice for the most part. And then, even though, like, I don't want to spoil it for you. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil it then.
Okay.
And then To All the Boys I Loved Before.
Okay, I did watch that. I like that. I like that.
I really, really wish I had that when I was, like, 12 or 13. That was amazing. Yeah.
Just somewhat, like, because it wasn't, I always say, how do I put this? I don't know how to put it, and I act like I have to be extra articulate or something. But something where someone comes out of their shell and that, like, allowing people to get to know them is the positive transformation versus like, oh, you're hot now is the transformation. I like that so much more.
Oh, and then she's all that. They just take off her glasses.
Yeah, they're like, okay, this has been the thing that's standing between you and people liking you and you feeling fulfilled this entire time. It's been you and your face and the choices, like the way that you dress versus like, oh, I don't have to hide because I am equally valid. Like, I wish someone had told me that when I was 14. I wish.
And I'm pretty sure like our kids will just be telling us how we should be treated in like other scenarios because they're so good at it now.
Well, my mom is single and she is on the dating apps, and it is this weird thing where I have to be like, he's lying to you. He's don't stand to be treated that way. Don't, no. If he's doing these things, he's setting up a bad pattern of behavior. Don't accept that. Yeah. It's so weird to tell your mom to not date someone. Like, not because like, oh, I'm a sulky teen and you can't, I want you to get back together with dad. But to be like, oh, I dated a guy like that. This is going to be bad for you.
It ends terribly.
Yeah.
Is she open to it? Because I could see like 50-year-old me being like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I've lived a life.
Mm. I think she is. I mean, she has been like, okay, I'm going to push back against this thing. And I'm like, you should dump him. But sure, push back against this one thing and see how he responds to it.
Did he dump her when she pushed back?
He has been calling her every day. So
okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
He still seems like a fucking weirdo to me, but at least now he knows that she will be like, actually, don't do this if you want me to stick around.
Yeah, now he knows he can't like fucking like bullshit her anymore.
Yeah.
That is another thing that all these like reality TV shows and rom-coms taught me, was that like you could be the person that changed them.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's definitely like a few men in my life that I was like, I'm like actively trying to change you because I'm amazing and I'm amazing for you. Not realizing that like that is the most toxic thing in the world, or to be with someone that needs to be changed like that.
Yeah.
Which is actually something in my life I now have to learn how to actively not try to like save my friends. Like, it's like permeated into actual just like platonic friendships as well.
That makes sense.
Like, yeah. I was like, ooh, this is like, like, it'll be something I talk about at therapy today. It's just like, oh, hey, so this is happening too. Because it's just like, it just seeped in without even feeling it or realizing it.
Yeah. I love, there are so many movies, and I think they're beginning to develop them more now. But like, there are so many movies about romantic love. I really like the idea of giving people a guide for how to be friends, especially how to make friends when you're out over 30. Just shit like that. Like, how to treat your friends well, or how to maintain friend relationships and like have them continue to grow deeper over time. Like, I wish that there were more movies that provided a model for that.
Absolutely. And the only one I've really seen is, do you watch Insecure?
I do.
Did you see last season?
Yes.
So I'm currently in like a friendship situation that Molly and Issa went through.
Yeah.
And so being able to watch that, being like, okay, like, is it going to work out? Like, it's like, you can see where both people are coming from. It just reminds me of like what you're saying. Like, yeah, I would love to have like this like how-to guide via a show of like how to deal with like a bad argument with a friend, or like there's now this break in the relationship and what does that mean? How do you grieve a friendship that you lost, not because they died, but because like it just didn't work out? Because I used to always think it was my fault.
Me too.
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah, you're like, I guess this person just doesn't like me now, like I don't know, and then you're afraid to talk to them about it. And like, or I mean, I guess I could like take, no, the lessons from rom-coms aren't good enough to like take those lessons and apply it to my friendships. But yeah, I just, as we live in a society where like fewer people are getting married, fewer people are having children, I think we do need to focus on like how to make those relationships as fulfilling as possible too.
Yeah, because that's a really good point. Like these, especially with like a chosen family.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with like rifts or arguments that are going to happen naturally in like a chosen family? Like it's implied that you'll always love each other in like your family.
Yes.
But how is it implied in just like your friends?
It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you like in relationships, there's a define the relationship talk. Like there's language around that. There's like, this is, oh, I want a monogamous relationship. Like that's like this, I would like to be boyfriend and girl, these are the terms I'd like for it, all of these things. Like we now have the language to say like, yes, I know how to communicate my needs in this relationship around romantic stuff, but yeah, I don't know how to tell my friend like, this is the type of friendship that I need and this is what it means to me to be friends, and let me set that expectation because when this doesn't happen, I'll be sad, or I'll react in a certain way or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And like learning how to like set boundaries, like, cause I don't think I knew about boundaries until maybe like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so now setting boundaries with like very close friends, and you watch like the friendships like dissolve and you're like, oh, okay. Like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Everyone just should have a therapist because therapy should be free for everyone.
I agree. I should never be a dictator, but if I was, I would be like a benevolent dictator or an enlightened despot or whatever, but everyone would have therapy. There'd be like mandated, like from the age of 3 years old, like when you are able to start talking, you will have therapy until you die. Like just know that that is a thing that would happen under my regime if I am elected or if I have a military coup, you know, whatever.
I was like, the dictator got elected.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a therapist? Do you see a therapist?
I was seeing a therapist. I've seen, over the course of my life, I've seen 7 therapists. The most recent one, I stopped seeing them in the spring of 2019 because I changed jobs and changed insurance. And I also realized that, like, I wasn't getting as much out of it. And it's my fault. I chose someone who I was attracted to. I was spending more time, like, trying to make them laugh and like kind of ask like non-verbally, but essentially like asking their approval for just certain things. And I was like, I'm not getting to the heart of what I really need to deal with here because I'm not treating this as though this is a therapist relationship. So I haven't seen a therapist since then. I've gone on like those consultation visits, but I haven't really felt like I jived with anyone. So I need to just like essentially look at someone. Look at all the people who have the inclinations that I like. So cognitive behavioral, like coping mechanism, homework based, like structural approaches. And then like just see like 2 or 3 of them. And then out of that, just like decidedly pick one. But yeah, it's been a really, because I want a Black woman therapist. Everyone in movies has them. It seems like that's just a thing that's available everywhere. But I have not been able to find one that takes my insurance, that is accepting new clients. And it's a real pain in my ass.
Damn, that does really suck. Because I think that is very, very important. And I don't think people talk about that that much. Of just like, you want someone that you can feel that is on your same level, has experienced similar things. So you trust them with the advice that they're giving you. And then no one ever talks about, maybe they do now, maybe I haven't heard it, but no one ever talks about how fucking hard it is to actually get a therapist.
Oh yeah, it's so hard to like to go through the steps if you find someone you like, but they don't take your insurance or they're booked up because they're very good. And people who are booked up, they, if you're very good, people are less likely to want to leave you. So you're not going to be able to like, take new people. So yeah, it's just, it's so frustrating. And it's also a thing like, I do believe empathetically a lot of people can relate to a lot of things, but mm-hmm. I don't like, if I have to pay you by the hour, I don't want to spend half of that hour explaining what these concepts that are messing me up are. So like, I don't want to have to explain what a microaggression is. I don't want to have to explain like the gendered fear I feel when walking into a like place. I don't want to have to explain that to the person. So yeah, I'm stuttering a lot. I'm super hesitant to say like, I don't want a male therapist. I don't want a white therapist, but I do want someone who, I just don't have to explain things to.
Jess Henderson was on like a couple weeks ago and she was talking about therapy. Like she just got a therapist and she wanted the same thing. Like she wanted like a black woman.
Yeah.
I think she wanted like preferably queer too, but she ended up having a really good consultation with someone that I think is white but was non-binary.
Nice.
And she went in being like, if I have to explain like this, this, and this, then like I this isn't the right choice.
Right.
But I think there was only like one thing that she had to explain to their therapist, and she was like, okay, I'm willing to give this a try.
Yeah.
But that's like, it's still like, it's a really hard thing. It sucks that there's all these like added things to it that like are never talked about, and people are just like, find someone. But it's like, actually, no. Like there has to be, like you said, I'm paying you by the hour, especially if my insurance is not taking it, and I'm not going to waste my time to get myself in a better like spot where I want to be.
Yeah,
teaching you stuff like you're not getting paid by the hour.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very, very fair and very important, and I'm wishing you all the luck it just sucks. It's hard. It's so hard.
Yeah, I have a video right now. Like I shot it for Bias for Us, which is like a black sketch show, but. It is me saying like, oh, you've got these, I'm pretending to be like a phone sex operator. I'm like, you've got those thoughts running through your head all day. You should get therapy, you know, like it's just like boom, 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 therapy, therapy, therapy. And it sucks to like put that out there and be like, also, it's really hard to get a therapist. I understand if you don't have one. It's cool. We get it. We get it. You're working. We're all in process and evolving. I get it.
There's like a lot of hoops you have to jump through. We understand. Yeah. You're trying. These are the people not trying.
Yeah. This is the people who are act like they don't need it. You need it, but it's hard to get.
Yeah. Basically, I'm on the I'm stuttering too now. I'm sorry, I
spread it to you. It's okay.
No, it's just my head is going too fast and my lips can never keep up.
Yeah.
But I was saying the other day, I can't remember who I was saying it to, but I was like, I think like all boomers should have to be required to have therapy.
They have not processed.
No, they have not processed like a lot of shit. And it is now affecting a lot of people.
Yes.
And that is not okay. It's not fair.
They went through desegregation and they never processed it. They never talked about like what they felt about it, how the issues that it brought up, but like all of it. They're just sitting there like, no, 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 I'm fine. I'm fine. It's like, you are clearly not fine. We would not have Donald Trump if you were fine. You're not fine.
Yeah. No, 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 no. Yeah. Desegregation, civil rights movement, you have
Vietnam
fucking
War.
Vietnam.
Yeah.
Then you have the fucking Cold War where you just thought an atom was going to drop on you at any point.
Yeah.
Just so many things. Then you have like the George Bush era of like another awful war. So bad. Maybe the Iraq War wouldn't have happened if Bush had like gone to therapy.
Yeah, probably not.
Oh my god.
Probably not.
Oh my god. I don't want to end the episode on like boomers being awful. So before we go, is there like, are you going on a date anytime soon? Is there anyone? Yeah? Okay.
Tonight. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. After this, I'm gonna exercise, take a shower, and you know, we'll see what happens.
I'm so excited. Where are you guys gonna meet?
I don't know. We don't know yet. He lives close by, so we'll figure it out.
Oh, cool. Okay, yeah. Cool. Oh my God, I'm so excited for you.
I I should let myself be excited, but I don't let myself be excited anymore. I used to, and that's probably why no one's been able to devastate me. And so I guess, yes, that is a coping mechanism, but not a good one. But yeah, I never let myself get excited for dates anymore. Now I'm just like, I'll see this person and maybe something will happen and maybe it won't. But I'd love to feel like a giddy pre-date excitement. I would love to feel that. But I just, I'm like, what? This is why I got to go to therapy. So I can like access that again. But now I'm just like, I will see this person and we will see what happens. But I am refusing internally to allow myself to put any positive expectation as though that will prevent being disappointed. I don't know.
Well, I wonder if it's because of the best friend that you like fell in love with that like basically like treated like you like shit and like threw you to the wayside afterwards. Like I would also be very hesitant to get attached or excited for someone that I don't even know when someone I knew very well ended up treating me like that.
It frustrates me that that person takes up any real estate in my brain at all.
Yeah,
that they have like they were like I wasn't shit. There's a zillion ways that everyone can be better all the time, but I wasn't shitty to him. And it sucks that I'm the one who's like adjusting my behavior and like trying to protect myself. Cause I didn't hurt him.
You didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. So, yeah.
The good news is though, there will be a point where like he doesn't take up any real estate.
Yeah.
Like, it will happen. So that's good.
That would be lovely.
I believe in this.
Thank you.
Yay.
Woohoo.
I love this fucking episode. This is a great episode.
Me too. This has been, I'm a big fan. Thank you.
Oh, yay. Well, I'd love to have you back too.
Okay, absolutely.
Again, you can go check her out. You can check out her stand-up at The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. You can find it on NBC.com or on their YouTube or Instagram, their social medias. It will be posted. It's obviously hilarious. And go like and rate and subscribe Awkward Sex and City, and then go find her podcast, Love About Town. Go download, listen. It's also, like, if you like Awkward Sex and City, you will like Love About Town, too. It's all about dating and what comes with dating, you know? So enjoy. I hope you guys are taking care of yourselves in the best way that you can. If you're having a bad day, I'm sorry. I promise this day will end, and tomorrow might not be as bad. If it's a good day, I hope the next day is good, too. That's kind of where I'm at right now, right? Like, just, you know, taking everything in stride, hoping for the best, but knowing sometimes it's not. Masturbate, wash your hands, wear your masks. I will see you guys next week. I don't know. I'm the big burp at the end of that.